Chapter 30.
Tahiri, it seemed, was no longer news. For the first time since her trial had opened, the spectator area of the Ninth Hall of Justice sat nearly empty. As word had spread of the errant venture's attack on Coruscant's climate control mirrors that morning, half the reporters in attendance had drifted out of the room and not returned. When news had arrived of the Stealth X launch, the rest had departed, and by the time the venture had escaped into hyperspace, even casual observers were leaving. Now, with Dala making noises about martial law and the whole planet waiting to see if she would attempt to storm the Jedi Temple again, the only beings still in the courtroom were those directly involved with the trial. And that, according to Sardun Sardon, was a problem. With Ermuth Boitu ambling back and forth in front of the witness stand, seeming to fumble about in search of a defense while actually preparing to demolish the prosecution's most damaging witness, the galactic media was nowhere to be seen. The momentum of the trial was about to swing toward the defense, and no one was going to see it. In the court of public opinion, Lieutenant Pogorsky's claim that the defendant had violated a direct order would be allowed to stand. Tahiri would continue to be regarded as a renegade Jedi who had murdered a legendary commander. And, of course, potential clients would not see on live holonet how quickly Sardun Sardon had reversed the course of the trial, which was fine with Tahiri. All she wanted was the truth brought to light. And the truth was that Kydus had instructed her to kill Pelion if it was necessary to secure the Empire's military cooperation. Tahiri had followed those orders exactly. Whether it had been an act of war or murder was for the jury to determine. She just wanted them to make that determination based on facts. Boitu's pacing carried him back in front of the witness stand, where he paused to scowl at Lieutenant Pogorsky.
So you're telling me that Bloodfin Security had all compartments on the vessel under surveillance?
Yes, sir,
Pogorsky replied. As before, she was in full Imperial dress uniform, white jacket with epaulets over a gray shirt buttoned to the throat.
All compartments except the Admiral's were fresher. That was what we were told.
I see,
Boitu said. The trap had been Sardon's idea, but even she had recognized that opposing counsel would see it coming if she tried to lay the groundwork in her own meticulous, orderly style. That was just one of the reasons Tahiri was glad that Boitu hadn't been allowed to resign in protest when she had insisted on adding Sardon to the defense team. Together, they were a great pair. Boitu's experience and style, a perfect complement to Sardon's intellect and organization. With them working together, she didn't see how she could lose.
And that's how you knew that my client was present at this supposed conference aboard the Bloodfin before the Battle of Fondor?
Boitu asked, weaving another strand in his web.
You saw her in the conference compartment with Admirals Nyathol and Pelion and Colonel Solo?
Not quite, Counselor, Pogorsky said. No one but Finsec sees those vids. I was told of her presence afterward by a Finsec officer.
Boitu cocked a furry brow and feigned astonishment.
It was the habit of the Bloodfin security team to gossip about what they observed on their surveillance vids.
Not normally, Pogorsky replied. I happen to be close with a Finsec officer.
So you're saying this was pillow talk?
That's not what I said, Pogorsky replied.
But it could be characterized that way?
Pogorsky blushed, then reluctantly nodded.
It could. We were very close.
Were?
Boitu asked.
Then your relationship has ended?
Not in the way you're suggesting, Pogorsky replied. My friend was killed during the mutiny.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry to hear that.
Boitu's ears dropped in sympathy.
I take it you were in love?
We were.
Sardon leaned close to Tahiri.
This is artistry, she whispered.
I only wish we hadn't lost the news crews. Then the entire galaxy would have seen who the real victim is here.
Tahiri cringed.
I'm no victim.
Of course not.
Sardon patted her shoulder.
You were a soldier, following orders.
In front of the witness stand, Boitu paused. With his chin slightly lowered and his shoulders hanging slack, it looked as though he were giving the witness a moment to compose herself. What he was really doing, Tahiri suspected, was drawing the jury's attention to her emotional state, making certain they were closely watching her reaction to what he said next.
And your friend?
Boitu asked.
There would have been Commander Lyin.
Pogorsky's eyes grew wide.
How did you know that?
Deccan must have sensed the trap before Pogorsky did, for the Shagrian was instantly on his feet, his long lethord swaying as he objected.
Your Honor, I fail to see what Lieutenant Pogorsky's personal life has to do with these...
It goes to credibility,
Boitu interrupted.
I'm simply trying to establish the reason the witness has been lying to this court.
Lying, Counselor?
Judge Zudan asked. She peered down from her bench, the tiny scales on her falling face deepening to a somber scarlet.
That's a very serious allegation in my court.
And one I fully intend to prove.
Boitu turned back to Pogorsky.
Unless the witness wishes to recant her earlier testimony now. After all, memory sometimes fails us all.